We had parked Slim's pickup down near the gas tanks. Once again, I fell right in step beside my master, marching to the drum of a distant beat. The beat of a distant drum, I guess it would be, because beets are vegetables, similar to turnips, and they don't play drums. But the point is that I marched proudly beside my master. I wanted the whole world to see and know that, well, here was an obedient dog, a dog who had learned manners and discipline, a dog who wanted nothing more from life than to please his people. Was this the kind of dog you'd send off to a cold, forbidding school where they beat dogs three times a day with a wet noodle and sent them to bed hungry and crying? No, sir. This was the kind of dog you'd want to keep at the ranch, at home, around a nice warm fire. You sure wouldn't want to send such an obedient friend off to some kind of awful school with, well, dungeons and torture chambers. As we walked along, I peeked up at Slim to see if my new dog campaign was making an impression on him. I mean, there was still time for him to realize that he and Loper had acted in a moment of anger. They'd made a bad decision. They had completely misjudged my character. What we had here was just a little misunderstanding. No big deal, nothing major. As we strolled past the gas tanks, I saw Drover lying on his gunny sack bed. But that wasn't the part that grabbed my attention. Right beside him on my gunny sack bed was a cat, Pete. He raised his head, smirked, and waved his paw. When Drover saw me, a look of horror passed over his face.
Hank, I didn't mean to do it, honest, but that jerky smells so good.
And with that, he dived underneath his gunny sack. We walked on. Would I find it in my heart to forgive the little tattletale? Heck no! At my first opportunity, I would give him the thrashing he so richly deserved. And then I would give an even better thrashing to the cat. We reached the pickup and Slim opened the door. You ride in the cab where I can keep an eye on you. I was shocked. Did he think I still had escape on my mind? Fine, I would ride in the cab. I leaped up on the seat and ran straight for the it's rolled up window. What was wrong with him? Every time I moved a muscle, he thought I was trying to escape. For his information, I had been merely checking to see. Hey, we dogs like to hang our heads out of windows. We like fresh air, okay? What was the big deal? He started the pickup and gave me a grin.
Hank, I can read you like a book. Every time you have a thought, which is about once every 6 months, it shows up like the lights of downtown Dallas.
I wasn't aware that my thoughts were so. I would have to be more careful. But that didn't give him the right to insult me and accuse me of terrible crimes. Dogs have feelings too. We chugged away from ranch headquarters and Slim started humming a tune. Oh, brother. Was this the beginning of another of his corny songs? Trapped inside the cab, would I have to endure another of his crimes against music? I held my breath and waited. The humming went on, like the drone of a dozen wasps. But apparently he couldn't think of any words boring enough to match the tune. So I was spared. You know, those songs of his really put me in an awkward position. I mean, I like the guy. We've had some good times together, but those songs. See, he makes them up and sings them to us dogs. That's pretty weird, a grown man performing songs in a ranch pickup for his dogs. But he does it all the time. And what can we do? What can we say? We don't want to be cruel and let him know that, well, that he has a lousy singing voice and writes songs that are incredibly dumb. That would be cruel and insensitive. And furthermore, A dog could get fired for that kind of honesty.